now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and a very warm welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Ezra Peregrine. On today's show, we're joined by the incredibly talented singer-songwriter Chuck SJ.
Plus, Nick from Queer Bath is here in the studio.
Oh yeah, all today.
Right here on Shout Out.
I get more vocal every time. Thank you.
Isn't it?
I've been called
worse. It's not like when Lara's here, where she's like, dum, dum, dum.
No, I like to do, I don't know what that tone's called.
A choral. Lower,
yeah, that.
Bass.
Yeah, Buttery Biscuit. How you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm fabulous, yeah.
So I wish this weather would make it smile up.
Well, I know.
Thunder and lightning last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
Did you need a weather report?
Go on then.
I've gone then.
Okay, going to be showery for the next few days. Weekend showery, thunderstorms due tomorrow. That's it. Back to you, Andy.
Yeah.
And if you're listening on one of the other stations,
it's just rain.
That's repeating that bit on Saturday, Sunday. We might have got that wrong, so apologies if we did.
Yeah, especially if you're listening in London or Kent.
Right to Steph, care of BCFM.
Yeah, that was a West Country weather forecast.
I wrote me that up.
We've got a very packed show tonight, haven't we?
We have.
And we've got one pre-record with the
lovely Chuck S. Jones.
We have indeed.
Mm. Yeah, you talk about some quite in-depth things in
we
that,
do.
Don't you?
Yeah, yeah. He's a really, really interesting singer-songwriter, and I don't want to say too much because he's got some really exciting things coming for the trans and LGBTQ+ community within his music and recording stuff.
Yeah. So we should also say Happy Pride Month.
Yes, it is June.
I mean, our pride's in July, but
yeah.
I think it's mainly a US thing, isn't it? Because our prides tend to go through to September. There's some even in October.
In fact, wasn't true. Trans Pride in November at one point?
It was in Bristol, it's moved now to March.
I just want to say we've also got a lovely person sat to my left, listeners. Nick from Queer Bath is joining us tonight.
Hello.
We've got his interview a little bit later on.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I'm loving the tash.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. I grew it myself.
It's beautiful. Really? I didn't grow mine myself. But it
reminds me of it'll come to me in a minute.
Okay.
Where he had a slug on his. You'll know the comedy thing I'm on about.
Not in reference to you.
No,
Nick.
No.
Me?
You said you're sort of stuck on.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, that's what I meant. Before we went live on air, we were talking about getting ID'd and how I get ID'd and Nick doesn't, and I blamed it on the beard.
Nice tash,
yeah. I can grow an extra mustache for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just for practical reasons.
By next week.
You stick a slug on your lip.
I'll try.
Yeah, maybe.
And what was the comedy show with Baldrick in it?
Blackadder,
that was it. Do you remember the one in the army where he did the thing on stage and he had a slug and he gives it to the guy at the end and said, we'd like a licorice, and the guy eats this slug.
No. I'd like to say yes.
No.
But I feel like
you're
that
not
was
that young.
Pardon me?
Yeah.
No.
You must remember.
Not that specific moment. Blackadder, yes.
Yeah. Before when Blackadder. That series was 89, the last series.
Wow, was it? Gosh.
Yeah.
How about Dad's Army?
That was even before.
His Army?
Yeah. Don't tell him Pike.
I was born.
Absolutely.
What's the one with the English French police officer? I love Hello,
That idea. There's a bum in my trousers.
Exactly.
We could do the whole show.
Just Nick.
In Franglais.
Yeah.
I was pissing by the door.
Great stuff.
Well, from something very funny to something bit more serious,
yes,
isn't it?
So a wonderful interview. So here you go, listeners, the lovely Chuck SJ. So, listeners, for today's interview, we are joined by the very talented Chuck SJ, who is doing some incredible things in music. So we're delighted to be speaking to him. Hello, Chuck.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. Thank you for coming on to Shout Out. I'm just going to go straight into it because you're a musician and we've been listening. Well, I've been listening to some of your music. It's great. And I know that you've had a single drop, but we can go into that in a little bit. But what got you into music? Could you tell the listeners a little bit about you?
What got me into music? So I started playing guitar when I was quite young. I was non-verbal for a long time before a lot of other kids were. And then somewhere in primary school, somewhere along the line, a guitar teacher started working in our school and my brother wanted to learn. And so I was like, well, if he gets to do it, I want to do it. And then he stopped doing it pretty soon. And I found that the more I played guitar, the more I grew into myself and I was able to start like verbalizing and communicating. And then me and guitar just kind of became one of the same thing. And that's how I got into music, really.
Were there any influences for you around that age? Were there any musicians that you were listening to or that you identified with? Or was it more about you finding your own sound or a bit of both?
Yeah, I mean, I was so young, it was hard to know what I wanted to listen to. I know that I didn't love what everyone was making me listen to, but I found this single that was somewhere in my house and it was You're Gorgeous by Baby Bird. And I remember like the cover of this person with the cucumber on their eyes. And I listened to it over and over and over and over again. And I guess because maybe it was the most mature song I had been exposed to for someone of my age, it's still my favorite song. Like, I love that song so much. But then as I grew up, I started to find influences and I still couldn't really find what I could see myself in because it was a lot of like cis male dominated music. And obviously I didn't have the words for any of that at the time. But the bands, like, I really loved pop punk as a little emo kid, but these lyrics that were coming back at me did not speak to me. It's just varied. I got super into Jimi Hendrix. I was really into this John Butler, who is like a guitarist in Australia, which is why my music, because I hop between acoustic and electric on like each song on the record, they kind of take these very contrasting elements to each other. Does that answer that?
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like there were lots of things coming at you all at the same time. And when you were sort of explaining that you had those sort of, I suppose, difficulties or delays with verbal and external sort of verbal expression, I'm just sort of picturing you with a guitar and sort of almost it feeling like home in a world that's so noisy and busy, just the importance of having something to connect with.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know at the time, as a lot of people who are like me from that generation are undiagnosed autistic, and it's not until like my mid-20s that I discovered I was autistic, and that now it makes sense. Music just like finally, especially being good at something, like made the people around me start treating me differently, and that made me feel, I mean, obviously you shouldn't treat kids differently depending on if they're good at something, but it gave me a way to connect to other people when I was no longer so isolated and alone. And that's just still very much the way. If it weren't for songwriting, I don't think anyone around me would really know much about me. I don't know how to communicate out. That's not true. I've got better at communicating now, but for a long while I could not express what I meant outside of songwriting.
It sounds very much like music is the one universal language. It is something that, you know, everybody can understand in some way and that people can relate to. There's always going to be generally a musician that or musicians that stand out to people, but I can really hear what that meant for you. And so I mean I'm imagining you at sort of 10 years old, maybe younger. What then brought you up to fast forward a little bit? So what were your teens and your early 20s like?
My teens were complicated because being queer is complicated, but I was still incredibly focused in on being a musician. I'm a big dreamer, and as a kid I was a big dreamer, and I just kind of locked myself in. It was like, none of this matters because I know I'm gonna be a rock star. Was just how I moved through my teenage years. I had a couple of school bands. We played like Green Day covers, and that was really fun. We moved into a smaller house when I was around 12, 13, and my bedroom was tiny. Like, the bed had to get cut off at the end to be able to fit it in.
Wow.
And the compromise for that from my mum was like, well, you can have the garage. And I remember her like going around all the local neighbors' houses to collect egg cartons so we could try and soundproof this garage. And we turned it into like a little practice room. And so I spent a lot of my teenage years in this garage in the back of in my garden, this like rubbish drum kit and this tiny little guitar amp, and we'd have like little parties in there and band practice, and it would feel like we were in like the movies that we saw, you know, in America when they've got like bands at a house party and stuff like that. So I did a lot of that in my teenage years. I don't know how I would have got through the queer phobia that I was up against in my school specifically had it not been for music.
So you had a sort of a small group of people that you trusted and made that music with and did your covers with, and Green Day, great choice.
Yeah, I'm so glad Green Day was my choice, because I think Billy Joel might be the only role model who hasn't yet disappointed me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you might be right there. I don't like to be completely full of hope, as in I like to prepare myself now with everything that's been coming out, but I do feel very hopeful for Billy. I'm going to keep holding him close. So I'm sorry to hear that you had such a difficult time at school, and you're absolutely right that there weren't really the words, I think, for a lot of queer kids in order for them to be able to explain to themselves what they're going through, let alone to other people. So what was it like for you moving sort of into the university years, sort of 18 to 21, 22?
I mean, that's when things get fun. That's when I started really songwriting, and it was around about the same time that I found Kate Nash, which had a huge influence on me, because I was finally hearing someone sing with this like really colloquial Essex style London accent, and that's how I sing, and just being quite like just saying it how it is and not painting it in this weird way. And just, yeah, Kate Nash made a huge difference to the way that I started exploring my music. And I moved to Brighton when I was around 18 to go to a music school called BIM to do the guitar course, but myself and one other, like, for lack of better words, everyone in the room was a cis man apart from me and one other person. And I was there for like a month or so, and my mum started to get really sick. I just left. I was like, I just knew in my heart that this was not how I was going to be the musician that I wanted to be. And I think that a lot of neurodivergent people feel that way about the things they want to pursue in like a curriculum type academic setup. It's, for some of us, it just doesn't work. And so I left. My mum was getting sick, which made me channel into my music even more. And I started a band. We were called Echo and the Beats, and we did like ska punk stuff. It was really fun. And yeah, that's where my music went then. And then alongside that, I was always doing my solo project. And since then, that's been the case. My solo project has run parallel to lots of different bands. And it's always been important to me that I never drop my own solo stuff as well, like, because it's just, that has just always been just as important as all the bands that I've been in.
Are they all different types of expression for you? Do all of those spaces allow for you to sort of be immersed in that creative space where you can be yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. I really struggle to sit in one genre for too long. And I think the way that music has developed in recent years without being able to access like home production as well has meant that we don't fit snugly and tightly into one genre so much anymore. And because of that, I can express myself in multiple different ways. I have like one project that's more instrumental, like chill ambient-y vibes. And then it feels really good to know that you can sit there and create a soundscape where everyone's locked in and feeling really like calm and relaxed. And then the next day you could go and do this other project where you're like screaming your heart out with this like punky, crunchy riffs, and people are like moshing. And then the next day after that, you might be doing an acoustic solo songwriting set where the lyrics are quite like deep and personal, and with some poetry in, and just bending genres as much as you bend gender, you know.
That's an amazing way to put it. So it's a space for every emotion, basically.
Yeah. You feel different all the time, so of course the way you express that is going to be different all the time.
Oh, absolutely. So what sort of things do you write about?
What sort of things do I write about? I write about grief a lot, and how transcendent I believe grief to be, like about how we should really lean into grief and not smother it, not hide it away, because yes, it's devastating, it causes so much pain, but it causes so much strength and power as well. I talk about social politics and our government and transphobia and community and anti-capitalist type things. I sing about love and love for my friends as well as lovers, and this like idea of fighting back against what heteronormative lifestyles have told us how to behave, and how we can love each other in different ways and we don't have to abide by that model. I sing about a lot of things, actually.
You really do, and all really powerful subjects, which which I would imagine then, you know, when other people are hearing them, you know, it's allowing them maybe to hear some of what they're experiencing in your words as well, which, you know, lessens that isolation I think a lot of people experience within the queer community.
Yeah, I hope so. When I first started songwriting, I wasn't ever really thinking about my audience as much. I was just trying to think about how to figure out how I'm feeling and what it is I'm thinking. And it's really took me by surprise when it first started happening, when people would come up to me afterwards and say that how much that meant to them and what they saw of themselves in that. And now I get the same response that they get from me, that I get from other musicians, because I'm giving myself permission to seek out artists that are more relatable to me. It really makes you realize that, like, once you break out of this mainstream idea of what music is, like listening to big names from big stadiums and the top of festivals, once you stop focusing so much on that and you look around locally and you look around at like grassroots venues and what bands and artists are touring through these venues, and you stop aiming for artists with big clout and following and just really go back to your roots, what you get back from that is huge. It's togetherness, and it's like, yeah, you're not alone anymore, are you?
Absolutely. And that's a really beautiful way to sort of bring in what you're doing now at the moment with your record label.
I've got a new album coming out later this year, and I was thinking about the best way to release this new album. And I already run, so I used to have a band called Binary, but it's spelled B-Y-E-N-A-R-Y, so it's like goodbye. So I had this band, and it was all about trans music. It was fun. We were no longer able to do the project because of different pursuits, different living in different towns. Pandemic happened, but that was one that I didn't want to just live in a past timeline. I was like, no, that was something. It can't exist in the shape that it existed, but like, it can still be something. And what is it? And then over the last couple of years, I started putting on events under that name, and it's events that platforms trans artists and queer artists. And like, we put on gigs to, yeah, just all sorts of these cool different gigs to try and bring trans audiences to gigs, because a lot of them don't go to gigs because they're quite like cis male dominated. And then with this new album, we've turned that into a record label, and the new album is coming out through the record label. And then through the record label, we're eventually going to turn it into a co-op where we can bring in other bands and have like a rehearsal space and a recording studio, and just like bring all these trans artists in together and create our own industry. That's the ambition.
That's just incredible. And, you know, yes. It really is. And wow, you should feel very proud of yourself. It's taking, I think, so much of your own lived experience and everything that is within that, and moving forward over the years and getting to a point where, like, do you know what? I could do this thing, and you've done it. You know?
Yeah, thanks.
And a lot of people have incredible dreams and incredibly good intentions, but, you know, it's so difficult, isn't it, for an idea to become a reality, and you've done it. So, you know, making those safe spaces in such a creative way, I think is an amazing thing. And I think a lot of people are going to be really interested in being involved, which brings me on to, how do people check you out? How do they find you online? How do they get any more information about you and what you're doing?
My Instagram is Chuck in Transit. Mailing list is on there. My website is chucksj.com. The record label is Binary Records, and the same with our Insta. I'm on every single streaming platform apart from Spotify. The new album won't be on Spotify either, but you can find it everywhere else.
Amazing. Thank you so much for speaking with us today, Chuck. And I just hope that the next few months, you know, everything keeps going in the direction that you've been envisaging. And if you ever want to come back on Shout Out, you can, to tell us, you know, any updates, which I can imagine there's going to be quite a few over the next year. Well, good luck in everything. And thank you again.
Thank
you.
Bye
for now.
Shout Out. LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
And that is Chuck SJ. Absolutely amazing. I loved listening to him. That was it was a wonderful interview.
Your mum, that's called.
That's right.
Not your mum.
Yeah.
It sounds very like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, and we
talked
about,
you almost want a mosh pit while you listen.
Yeah,
to
very we talked punk. About influences, and we had a lot of sort of musical loves in common, which is always nice when you're interviewing people.
I can see you with a guitar and moshing away.
I did try to learn guitar, but apparently my hands were too small.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, no, genuinely. When I was growing up, I was about, I don't know, 7, and my friend's dad, Kevin, was trying to teach me to play guitar, and he just gave it to me. I think your hands are just too small.
I started doing the cello when I was at school.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
For one lesson?
I went through a few, but I thought we were going to go straight into use of the bow, but it was just about plucking. And yeah. I got fed up with the plucking. And yeah. so I thought, if I can't use the bow within a couple of lessons.
You didn't want to be a plucker, no?
No.
No, so I gave it up and took up drumming.
I actually learned violin.
I can see you with drums, actually.
Yeah, I can. Yeah. Lets out all our anger. Full of rage.
Did you were you a punk, Steph? Did you enjoy the punk rock movement when that came along? Because
no,
you had a punk song just there.
Not in the slightest. I no, didn't 70, like
more. You're more dance and club.
Because 1976 was the big breakthrough year.
I was
wasn't
busy
it,
doing mobile discos yeah, in the 70s, so yeah. it was all Motown and reggae and
ABBA. Soul and
I bet you had ABBA.
Well, later on. Usually, well, I started the show with Michael Jackson. Oh, the Jacksons, I Want You Back.
No.
Yeah.
That always went down.
For listeners who don't know what that is, Spotify will help you. It's from
1940s.
Gosh, I suppose there are some people now that are growing up that don't, because he's been. He's been. There's a thing on
is it Netflix. There's a
movie, isn't there, about his life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which has got good reviews, the ones that I've read anyway.
I can sing it to you if you want.
Well, Annie, are you okay?
I Want You Back.
I Want You Back.
I was going to talk about Tiptoe in this show, but none of us watched it yet.
No.
So we'll have to try and catch up.
I'm going to probably watch an episode this weekend. Yeah. But as we were talking about,
it's very emotional, apparently. Yeah.
So be in the right place, listeners.
Anyway, hopefully, what's not emotional is this week's news. Ooh.
Of course.
So, Rebecca,
read it deadly seriously.
Crap, let me pluck my script up.
Clear my throat as well.
Struth, Bruce.
Right. Glasses on.
We're using paper tonight then. Whoa.
on both?
Yes, both of us have our glasses on.
Get on with it.
You do realise that we're now starting our 16th year as of this week?
We go out tonight on the 4th, so that means that Sunday is going to be our
birthday.
Official birthday.
And I'm starting my 73rd.
Yes.
What, year in radio? You look great for 93.
Wow.
Anyway, with that...
This is Shoutout News. Welcome along.
Storysmith and Olivia Lang at the Cube Bristol's independent bookshop Storysmith has announced a special event with acclaimed writer Olivia Lang, whose latest novel, The Silver Book, was named Storysmith Book of the Year for 2025. The event takes place at the Cube Microplex on Wednesday the 17th of June at 6:30 p.m. and includes a live conversation, a book signing and a screening of Fellini's 1976 film Casanova. Organisers say around 80% of the tickets have already been sold. More details via Storysmith Events.
Pride Cymru returns to Cardiff on June the 13th and 14th, bringing 2 days of performances, community stalls and celebrations to the city centre and Cardiff Castle grounds. Headliners this year include Kate Nash, Katie Baser, Louise, Ultrabeat, 911, and Keenan, who I fancy Keenan. The Saturday parade is expected to draw thousands of people, while Sunday offers a more relaxed programme with vendors, community groups and a fun fair. More information is available via Pride Cymru online.
Bristol Pride 2026. Volunteer recruitment now open. Bristol Pride has opened applications for volunteers ahead of this year's festival, with organisers confirming that several hundred people are needed to help deliver the parade, the Festival on the Downs and the Pride Fringe programmes. Roles include parade stewards, accessibility volunteers, donation teams, stage area support and general festival assistance. No previous experience is required and training sessions will take place in the coming weeks. Bristol Pride has not yet published a final deadline for volunteer applications, but the team says early sign-ups and essential planning, accessibility, safety and crowd management. Some roles will close once capacity is reached and organisers are encouraging anyone interested to apply as soon as possible. More information via Bristol Pride volunteer details on the website.
Now, European news. Trans rights and UK divergence. Across Europe, human rights bodies and courts continue to affirm that trans women are recognised as women in equality law, and that discrimination based on gender identity is also treated as a form of sex discrimination. Because Northern Ireland remains aligned with EU equality directives, these protections continue to apply there. Legal analysts, say this creates a divergence with Great Britain, where recent guidance from the Equality and Human Rights Commission has introduced uncertainty but also does not permit discrimination. More available if you Google EU trans rights overview.
Radar. Key providers and disability rights groups respond to toilet debates. Several disability rights organisations, including providers of radar keys, have spoken out about the way accessible toilets are being referenced in public debates about trans people. They say disabled toilets are essential facilities for people with mobility, continence, sensory or medical needs, and should not be treated as a substitute for inclusive toilet provision. The group's emphasis that disabled toilets are not a political workaround and that suggesting trans people should just use the disabled loo places unfair pressure on disabled people and overlooks the fact that many trans people are also disabled. They are calling for clearer public toilet policies that respect both disability access and gender identity.
Right, the Equality Act review next. The UK government has confirmed that it is still reviewing potential changes to the Equality Act of 2010, following last year's request from the Equality and Human Rights Commission to redefine the protected characteristic of sex. Ministers say that no final decision has been made. LGBTQ plus organisations argue that the current law already provides clear mechanisms for managing single-sex spaces and warn that altering the definition will create confusion for employers, service providers and local authorities. Legal specialists also note that any change would place Great Britain further out of alignment, as we mentioned before, with Northern Ireland and the European Union's equality standards. You can get more if you Google Equality Act Guidance Westminster.
Community engagement note. Several LGBTQ plus and human rights organisations have reminded the public that members of parliament are the appropriate point of contact for raising questions or seeking clarifications about potential changes to equality law. Constituents can contact their local MP to request information or share their views through the usual democratic channels.
That's a look at what's happening across the LGBTQIA plus communities this week. Stay connected with queer culture, events and stories via our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
I'm Steffi Barnett.
And I've been Terry Starr.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Nice bit of Kylie for you there. So that wasn't really a hit, that one. That was called Lights, Camera, Action. But like we were talking about off air, it followed Padum.
It did.
Yeah, which
perhaps
was a
I should
hit.
Have played, you know.
But, no, yeah. It's nice to have something different. Yeah. We all know Padum.
Everyone knows Padum.
I like,
I Should Be So Lucky?
No. All the Lovers, to You, that one. Yeah. I really like that one. Which I think was written for her by the Scissor Sisters.
Wouldn't surprise me, actually, yeah.
What was the Gold Hot Pants one?
Ooh.
She did a song and she was
just
in
the W you know better than
it
w
wasn't
know?
No. This is like in the noughties.
Yes, another one you mean.
I was about 16 because it was on the school bus every morning.
I was.
Spin me right round. No, spin. What am I on about? Anyway, moving on.
You had a video on your school bus.
No, we had the music on every morning on the school bus, and it was always on, and it will come to me in a minute. But we have
a quick segue.
Somebody with us
from embarrassing to
because I can't believe I've forgotten the Gold Hot Pants.
Shall I look it up?
Song. Go on then. We have Nick with us on tonight's show. Hello, Nick, and welcome to Shout Out.
Hello, it's a real honour to be here. Thank you so much. You've been so wonderful and welcoming.
Wow!
You get to see the madness that goes on behind the scenes.
It is mad.
I've got signed photographs of myself for sale after the show. Nick,
wonderful.
I was going to ask, but thank you for advertising.
She's very forward.
Yeah.
It's £25 and six
Shillings.
Bargain.
Sixpence.
Yeah.
So niche. Wow. So, yes, anyway, back to you, Nick. We are going to be talking about everything queer Bath, aren't we?
Yes, I'm very excited.
No, we don't just mean that Bath's queer, do we?
Well,
it's a group called Queer Bath, I presume, is it?
Well.
We could talk about the Bath queers as well. We kind of overlap somewhat.
We can talk about... Well, let's ask... I want to ask a little bit about you first, if that's all right.
Well, my name is Nick. I am a musician, a drag performer, LGBT activist. If you have gone to Bath on the weekend to potter around, you may have seen me busking, playing the violin, sometimes wearing a kilt, sometimes doing little Irish jigs. I'm also, you may or may not know me, if you've ever gone to WIG, the drag show at Comedia, my drag name is Mother. And why do they call me Mother? Because I'm having sex with your dad.
Started strong, Nick. I like it.
And WIG has been going for, it'll be 8 years this year, I believe. I've been running that with Remy Millay, my drag sibling, and highlighting the best of Southwest drag talent, and also bringing drag queens from around the world and drag kings. It's been really cool. At the moment, I'm really heavily involved with Queer Bath, which is a festival of culture, history, art, in the gorgeous city of Bath. And
I was going to say, you can't be a drag queen because you sat in the corner all nice and quiet. Drag queens never do that when they come in the studio normally.
Well, I mean, I don't know which Bristol drag queens you've had in here, but I could make an assumption from what you've said from that.
Nick was taking in the vibes, weren't you, Nick?
Yeah, I'm a more calculating kind of vibe.
The observer.
Mother's vibe is, she watches as well.
She learns.
Yes,
she
absolutely,
grows.
Yeah.
So, but you are still doing the drag on, as well as all the stuff you're doing.
Yeah. Wig's on a little bit of a... I've not sort of made a public announcement, but a little bit of a break just for personal reasons. It's also,
it's quite full on doing drag from what I know. It does take its toll. People do take breaks. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been a difficult time recently for queer nightlife events. Mm. Everyone's been affected by the cost of living crisis. And I think somewhat of the drag race sort of bubble has kind of burst a little bit, and there's still so many incredible queer drag kind of community shows here in Bristol in particular, we do plan to continue with WIG, but it can be a lot.
I can imagine that you're obviously a very creative person. Your whole sort of life revolves around music and art and performing. I can imagine that it does take an enormous amount of energy and dedication to not just be a performer, but to also be part of what creates those events. So I absolutely get it, especially with everything that you're saying there about the cost of living. But you're also still and currently very involved in a lot of stuff that's coming up. So I'm imagining it's sort of given a bit more space for you to get stuck right in?
Yes, definitely, yeah. And we have really incredible array of events happening for Queer Bath this year. So our first kind of year running Queer Bath was last year. And what we are is a festival of art, culture, history. We really wanted to kind of break the idea that Bath is just all Jane Austen and bustles and bonnets, basically. There's far more to Bath than that, and it has such a rich queer culture and queer history. So with videos, with talks, with all kinds of incredible events. I mean, we have a terrarium making workshops at Botanica Studio, the incredible houseplant shop, where we're going to be talking about the queer history of the meanings of plants. Of course, the green carnation is a very famous one, but you'll get to make your own terrarium and also learn something about the queer history of botany and plants. We have also...
It's one area I wouldn't have thought there was a queer history, to be honest. That's amazing.
I mean, when I think of a Victorian gentleman who's very into botany...
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
very into botany.
Very into botany. Yeah. I also imagine he's good to his mother.
Yes,
if you know what I mean.
Yeah, mother and mother.
Yes, yeah.
Sweet.
We also have some really incredible talks, including actually this Friday we have a talk about Oliver Messel, who's an incredible theatre designer who was involved with renovating the assembly rooms in Bath and sort of making it in its current state, and how there may be sort of like British queer subversive kind of like aesthetics within something as like palatial and grand as the assembly rooms in Bath. And there's also a talk on Roman history that's going to be run by the Roman Baths. There's also a silent disco. There's also a queer film festival.
Wow.
It's all kinds of stuff. And what's really fun with what we've been doing with Queer Bath is not only are we putting on events ourselves, but also we try and empower people in the community to put on their own events. So myself, who's involved with WIG, and Remy, but also Jazz, who's involved with Bath Arts Collective, we kind of give our expertise in events organizing, so that, you know, smaller creators, smaller people sort of doing different creative things in Bath can create something fabulous and queer, and we can just populate the month of June with incredible stuff.
I feel like what you're saying there is that there's always been queer people throughout history.
And you know,
I was under the impression that it started in the 90s. Are you saying...
Well,
live on Shout Out.
Started with Queer as Folk, didn't it?
Yeah.
I'm intrigued. The Roman stuff sounds absolutely fascinating.
Absolutely,
because the Roman Empire viewed sexuality very differently to modern
life. Yeah.
But they did have homosexual men and women.
Well, absolutely. I mean, as the old saying goes, what happens in the Roman bath stays in the Roman bath. Bath's queer Roman history is very interesting. I mean, we have a statue of Emperor Hadrian overlooking the Great Baths, and he had famously a Greek lover, Antinous, and also as well, at Hadrian's Wall in the north of England, they found evidence of worship of the goddess Cybele. And Cybele's priestesses were what we might now call trans women. They were kind of people who were assigned male at birth, who lived their lives as women. Sometimes they were eunuchs as well, and they wore women's clothing, and they basically took on sort of female social roles in many ways. And, you know, Roman history is in many ways the earliest written down history of Britain. Yeah. And so in a sense, some of Britain's earliest history, Hadrian, the worship of Cybele, it's queer history.
Yeah. Absolutely.
See, there's a bit of me that's going, really? Trans people have been around forever?
Yeah.
You wouldn't have thought that this day and age, would you? It's like they suddenly appeared in the last 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Of course that's what happened. Like, ta-da! What got you sort of involved in this? What sort of started this sort of journey for you to bring it to the point that it's at now with Queer Bath?
Queer Bath, I guess, it's a sort of collective of different people who are involved in it. There was Holborn Pride, which happened first in 2023, and me and Remy, who I run WIG with, got involved after that. And I guess the idea was to do something that really was just really city expansive and just change the way we kind of like, as queer people, interact with the city, see the city, and really kind of foster like a deeper sense of community. And I guess also just for the, you know, for your average straight person as well, make them think twice about, you know, that history and like whether it is all straight. I mean, last year we had an incredible event called the Pride Not Prejudice Ball, which took place in...
Brilliant.
Yeah, thank you very much. It happened in the Pump Room, and it was kind of like all kind of Jane Austen themed. It was a lot of fun.
Not Bath Buns.
Well, I'm not at liberty to say what Bath Buns were on offer there. But one thing I did during the show as I was hosting it was did a toast to the ghosts, because I think when we think of those, all the kind of Regency balls that would have happened in that room, I think we always have such a straight image of it, but there would have been people catching glances, there would have been queer lovers, there would have been trans people there. And I think it's so important, especially right now with everything that's happening in the world, that we really remember that this is not a fad, this is not a trend. It's always existed, and throughout history there's been times where it's been more oppression, there's times where there's been more liberation. I mean, if we look at the last 30, 40 years, it's ebbed and flowed, you know.
And history, we are really good with history of going back and removing the you know, a lot of LGBT stuff gets removed from the history books when we go through a bad period, and then you have to go through
people
a real kind
of
discovery
us, yeah.
to find it again, don't you? I mean, is that something you found when you've been researching?
Yeah, absolutely. Do you know what I'm always shocked by is a kind of, there's a weird cultural amnesia that happens. Even things that have happened quite recently, you know, people seem to somehow forget. And, you know, over the course of the 20th century, you just have so much queer culture that arrives and disappears, and periods of tolerance where, you know, like, out of nowhere, the most popular musician might be someone who's very visually queer, and then we go into a period where that's no longer cool anymore. And whether it's cool or not, queer people have to live with the reality of how that goes. And in Queer Bath, we explore all those kinds of different themes and have a lot of fun doing it, basically.
I'm conscious of time, so give us a rundown of the events that you've got planned coming up.
When I tell you there's a lot of events,
there
is a lot of events. I've written down a few here, and I think I've mentioned them all, but this Friday there's the Oliver Messel event, which is at the Assembly Rooms, which is going to be a really incredible talk. On June 12th, we have author Elizabeth Lovett, who's going to be giving a talk about their book, Thank You for Calling the Lesbian Line, Boston Tea Party in Bath. June 13th, we have the Terrarium Making Workshop at Botanica Studio, where we'll be learning about queer history of plants. There's the Queer Bath Film Festival, which is going to be happening at the Holborn. There's some incredible, big films, you know, Silver Screen? What generation am I?
20s, fine. Yeah.
Step into the limelight.
The talkies. and also some local films as well. And then also on the 26th of June, we have Holborn Up Late. And there's going to be a talk by Joelle Taylor, the poet. And also there's going to be a massive silent disco in the museum. So it's going to be an absolute smorgasbord of queerness. And
you're going to need to lie down after all that.
Socials. How can people, because there's really are some amazing things coming up. So
and that's a lot to remember too, if you're
have
older.
A little look. Are you on the gram?
Yes. So if you just head over to @queerbath, we also have a website as well, which you can find through Instagram. We also have a Facebook, I do believe, as well. But Instagram is the place to go these days. But we have a website, and I think you can get a lot of tickets on Bath Ticket Office. Brilliant. As well. They'll be available through there too.
Some wonderful spaces for some wonderful LGBTQ+ people.
During this time last year, you were talking about balls and, you know, people dressing up and that and going to the balls with their nice frocks on and that, and there'd be trans people and gay people there. Last year, exactly this time, we were in Versailles, the Palace of Versailles. We were opposite side the road in a hotel. And everyone who was staying in the hotel was going to the ball, weren't they?
Yes.
And they were all dressed up in these beautiful and a frocks lot of and powdered wigs.
LGBTQ+ people.
It was fabulous. A lot, yes.
I can see anxious look on your face if we have to leave this. But the one piece of Queer Bath history I absolutely love, have you ever heard of Chevalier Dion?
No. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, so Chevalier Dion was a transgender spy, duelist, an incredible figure. And they lived in Bath for a period of her life.
Oh, okay.
She was, well, so...
Because that's the Beaumont Society is named after that. That when I was growing up, it was a cross-dressers organisation.
Oh, fabulous. Yeah. But she lived in Bath after... so famously, she was the French ambassador to Britain, she was very famous for throwing very lavish parties, and it kind of drew the ire of the French court. And when she got recalled, she refused and said that she would expose the secret plans for France to invade Britain unless she got a state pension and King Louis the 15th, I believe, recognized her legally as a woman.
Yes.
And so he did, and she got a state pension, and that might sound like a wonderful ending to the story. Unfortunately, this little thing called the French Revolution happened.
Oh, yes.
And which meant her pension was cancelled. So like any queer down on her luck, she unfortunately ended up in Bath, and where she would dueling demonstrations for money. And a local Bath newspaper described her as, I can't remember the exact quote off the top of my head, it's so good, but being rather like nimble on her feet for someone in her 69th year.
Oh, wow.
Which I think is quite wonderful. Incredible.
That is. I'm so sorry, because I could talk about this for ages, but...
Well, you're going to have to now, because we've gone past the pilot of a song, so...
Okay.
Oh
no!
Goodness.
It is funny how much history, because of course, last week we did Man Fabulous. It was last week, wasn't it?
It was.
Fifth Marquis of Anglesey, wasn't it?
Yes.
And all about his flamboyantness. And it's interesting to hear it's happening everywhere, happened in Bath and all over. So,
but what coincidence for us to be in that hotel and that event going on. And so there's a couple of British queers in the restaurant night, and all of a sudden we're surrounded by these beautiful gowns.
I hope you're not referring to me.
I was.
As a British queer. Just kidding. It was wonderful, actually.
Did you go get your best frocks on and join them?
I was already in mine.
Oh, were you?
No. Yeah.
They were telling us, because obviously we went up and chatted to them. A lot of them were from the States.
Yep.
And they went there every single year just so that they could, dress up. Because as I said, a lot of them were trans.
I mean, Paris still has a very big... LGBT scene.
Oh,
absolutely huge over there.
Yeah, and we've been lucky enough to go to drive through France, Germany, and down to Italy for the last few years, and we've only ever been met with love and genuine hospitality, and also met some incredible LGBTQ+ people, trans people.
But you see, you've got to do something special so you get remembered in 100 years in history on a radio show then. I don't know, like you could do ballet through the middle of town or something.
Okay, after the show.
Dueling demonstrations.
Right, Old Market, 20 past 8 tonight. I'm going to be there pirouetting.
in Bath in the September, I might get in trouble for saying this, but I've started, so I'll
finish. Then.
Do you know, have you ever been around for the Jane Austen Festival, where people will dress up in Jane Austen?
Yes.
And a friend of mine once joked, they was like, I can't tell which ones are ghosts and which ones are people. I do wonder, because their costumes are so wonderful.
Yes.
Is this that some people's thing?
Yes.
You know, like, it's their...
It's their thing. It's their thing.
I wouldn't... You said the word, not me. I mean, but I wonder, maybe...
Yeah, I think so.
There are some people that do that. I know... I mean, I don't know who she is, but I have seen a lady when I'm shopping in Sainsbury's who... wears the same outfit that dates back to World War II, and it's that very old-fashioned.
Yeah.
And she has the hairdo from it.
Oh, so the beautiful pin-up like curls.
Yeah. And I just assumed it was like one off the first time I saw it. But quite often when I'm shopping after the show, I see her there exactly the same.
I think there's many layers to what the thing could be. Everything from just an enjoyment and a relaxation to
absolutely.
A kink.
It may be. That's all I'm saying.
If you could go back in time, would you like to live in that period, see what it was like?
I would. I think.
Georgian period. I feel like as a Bathonian, I'm contractually obliged to say yes to that.
A Bathonian.
Yeah, a Bathonian. I kind of wish it was Bathwegian. I think that would be my
Bathwegian.
Bathwegian.
We get Bristolian, but that's half to do with the accent, isn't it?
Careful. Dodgy grang. Super sensitive I am. Sorry, Terry.
I was just going to say, I was watching a TV programme once, and it was one of these sort of most haunted type shows. And apparently there's a gay ghost in Bath, in one of the upper echelons.
What do you call me?
And he appears to attractive young men only. Look out for him.
Now I feel pressured to say I've seen him. Is it in the Garrick's Head by any chance?
I'm not sure. I can't remember. Okay. Where I saw it, yes.
The Garrick's Head is a pub in Bath. It was like the oldest. It was the oldest queer venue in the city. It goes back, I think, perhaps even to the late 19th century, because it's right next to Theatre Royal. So you could be a local and you could just bump into a thespian there, if you know what I mean.
A bit like here with the Old Vic.
Yeah, exactly.
You're a thespian, aren't you?
Running joke. One of the things I was not allowed to be called, I wouldn't allow anyone to call me as a teenager, was a lesbian. So I was just a thespian. I actually was a thespian. I was in the arts. Darling. I was in the arts from 4 years old. I was a thespian.
Is that not a lesbian with a lisp?
No. I just like to walk the boards. Right.
Oh dear, we got so close.
I know. So close. We get so far.
Anyway, you say thank you to...
Oh, thank you, Nick.
Oh, my pleasure.
You've been absolutely wonderful.
That is it for this week. If you do have an event or a story or perhaps you'd even like to get involved in LGBT Plus Radio, do check us out online and get in touch.
Plus, all our shows are available as podcasts on all good services, as well as our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Join us next week, same time, from myself and Terry, from Steph, from Ezra. Lovely Ezra. Say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.